I will be starting a new course today, introducing a new course to us as a church. We thank God for the way he has been ministering to us. And this course is titled Meaningful Living. Meaningful Living. If someone is blessed, you expect the person to have meaningful living, not so? And we want to be blessed. We've just finished a series on the blessed. We're going to see during the course of this teachings, a series of teachings, which will be based on Ecclesiastes in the Bible, how we're going to ask ourselves the question, if we are blessed, is it compulsory? Is it definite that we enjoy meaningful living? It's a question right now, but you will be able to provide answers later on. We thank God for his love for us. As we travel around the world, you go on motorways, you see articulated lorries with logos on them, signs. I want to tell you about some articulated lorries in Nigeria, where I come from. As you are driving, you suddenly see a lorry or an articulated vehicle coming. You see, the Lord is my shepherd. Some will just put Psalm 23. Others will put, give thanks. But there's one particular one that when, you know, once in a while, when I see it, it used to send shivers down my spine as I think about the ramification of, what he's talking about. This one is, if men were God. If men were God. Can you imagine? If men were God. In fact, maybe some of you are already saying, no. Men cannot be God. I actually listened to a preacher say, if he was God, he would make people wake up, he would make some people wake up and their mouth will appear at the top of their stomach. Then he went on to say, oh no, maybe I'll just put it at the back of their skull. Men, if men were God, the world would be as it is today, even worse. You all know, a few weeks ago, the Taliban got back to Afghanistan. They released people from prison. And then a few days ago, we are hearing that suicide bombers are now bombing them as well, killing people in mosques. The Taliban were, those that were carrying out suicide bombing, and now they have enemies as well. What is the world turning to? If men were God, can you imagine you'll be driving and then somebody will just drive wrongly? You will exterminate the person. We thank God that men are not God. We can enjoy meaningful living only in Christ. Only Christ makes it possible to have meaningful living. We can try. You keep trying. I keep trying. No, it's only possible in Christ Jesus. Hence, when we look at the scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16, we are told there very clearly, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So when you hear the word of God, open your heart and say, when it hits hard, thank God and change. Over the course of this introductory preaching, I'm just introducing the series, you will see how some people did not cling to God. You see that song that Rhoda chose, the one that we were just singing a short while ago, Ever Faithful God, I Cling to You. You will begin to wonder if some great men and some great women just miss out on this. That God is ever faithful. What we need to do is to cling to him. Don't let go. He will not let go, but will you let go? That is what we are talking about. You know, let's stick strictly to the Bible. In fact, for the purpose of this preaching, and maybe in your thoughts, get the scriptures condensed to four words. What does God say? And then, of course, you go and check in his word. What does he say? In every situation, ask yourself, what is God saying? And then you do it. See, what does God say? Can someone be blessed and then not have a meaningful life? We shall soon find out. We are going to learn from the book of Ecclesiastes. It's included in the Bible, the Word of God. You know, as we have come to appreciate, brothers and sisters, in King's Church, that if you take a text of the Bible, read it, understand it in context. If not, you miss out. If not, it becomes negative, actually. You know, there will be misinterpretations, misrepresentations. You'll be skewed to the left, skewed to the right, skewed to the far right. And at times it gets dangerous, physically fatal, spiritually fatal. Let me give you an example. When you take something out of context, it can be very terrible. Let me give you an example. Talking about two sisters. Let's call one A, Sister A, and the other one Sister B. Or if you like, Mrs. A, the other one Mrs. B. Mrs. A and her husband were very wealthy. Both Mrs. A and Mrs. B were sisters. Mrs. A and her husband, very wealthy, they decided not to have children. They were fine. It was a decision. Well, Mrs. B was wealthy, but she did not count wealth as anything. She wanted to have children. She did everything. And then when Mrs. A saw that her sister had done everything, was so desperate, she loved her sister. She said, "Sister, I will carry your baby, surrogate pregnancy. I will carry your baby." Then she decided to carry her sister's baby. One day, Mrs. A and her husband sat down. They were having a chat. They said, "What present will we give to Mrs. B when the baby comes? What present?" So they decided to give, to build a nursery, and give it to, just give it to her as a gift. But Mrs. B was around the corner. All she heard was build a nursery. So she thought, well, they want to build a nursery and take the baby for themselves. She said, that's not going to happen. So she decided to kill Mrs. A's husband and frame Mrs. A for killing her husband. Then she succeeded. Mrs. A's husband was, killed. The police would normally come and investigate the nearest and dearest. They first of all accused Mrs. A. "Why did you kill your husband?" She said, "I love my husband. We love her." I said, "Why would I do that?" Then they dug deeper and they found out that it was Mrs. B that killed Mr. A. And Mrs. A told the sister, "Say, why did you do that?" Then the police asked her, "Why did you do that?" She said, she heard them say, "Build a nursery, you wanted to take the baby." So Mrs. A said, "No, you didn't hear the beginning. We said, we'll build a nursery and give you as a gift. And you just took build a nursery and you misinterpreted it." That is how dire, how terrible it is to take something out of context. You miss it and lives can be lost. You know, we're going to consider things during the course of the study of Ecclesiastes. Let us actually look at some quotes that you can, let us read it and you can see how, if it's taken out of context, what it will mean. The first one is, utterly meaningless, everything is meaningless. What does it mean? You shouldn't go to work tomorrow? Okay. The other one is, there's a time for everything, a time to kill and a time to hate. Well, does the Bible not say, thou shalt not kill? Does God not say in his commandments? So if you take this out of context, someone annoyed me, let me kill the person. You can say you got it also from the Bible. No, you've taken it out of context. Another one, do not be over-righteous, neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Wow. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you just take that quote and then you say, ah, do not be over-righteous. You know, you are being over-righteous. It's not good. You know, you are over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Another one still is, I have found one upright man among the thousand, but not one upright woman among them all. Thank you. You just imagine. Should I tell this guy to go to Specsavers? Or what was he looking at? What about the women I know in the Bible? What about the women in front of me who are seeking God, who are righteous, who have the righteousness of Christ? This is what happens when we take things out of context. The meaning is very different. But there are also some factual quotes that we can all agree with, such as also from the same Ecclesiastes, whoever loves money never has enough money. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. We agree with such quotes. Naked the man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he will depart. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. The book of Ecclesiastes is incredible. It's much better understood as a whole. It's just 12 chapters. I will encourage you to read through very quickly, and you begin to get the power and get many things from it. It can be taken as a whole, which is better, but parts of it can also be, studied as in context as a whole, as part of the whole book, but you study it in context. Let us talk a bit about the preacher, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. The teacher is believed to be Solomon, but his name is never mentioned in the book. But Solomon had the means and the opportunity to pursue and study those things, that consume people under the sun. He had the means. He could do anything. He had wisdom. Everything under the sun. Solomon was a king that had the means and the opportunity to do those things. And when I say under the sun, I mean life lived to excess, just disobedience, life lived as if, there was not in context with God. What God says doesn't matter. Chasing after the wind, it's just doing what you like. Solomon definitely had that. As you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, you begin to suspect, this must be Solomon. See, the life we're talking about here is like chasing after the wind, chasing after labor, vapor. The vapor goes around. How do you chase after vapor? It comes out, it rises. People will say, are you ill, chasing after vapor or the wind? That is what life under the sun is about. Look at the governments of the world. One pulling left, one pulling right. Some people say they are lefties, some people they are righties. Some people don't know where they are. They're in between. But life under the sun is meaningless, is empty, if it's not lived in relationship with the Maker. Solomon, that we suspect to be the writer, started very well. He had everything. His father wanted to build a temple. God said no. But the father got everything for building the temple. The gold, the silver, the wood, the labor, the plants. He had the vision, everything he got ready for Solomon. Then when Solomon started, you know the story, he went before God, said, I can't rule these people. My father did well. Lord, give me wisdom. And God said, I'll give you wisdom. You didn't ask for the death of your enemies. You didn't ask for long enough. I will give you all those things. Solomon started well. But Solomon did not take the whole scripture. He could have been listening to the worship team this morning, singing, Ever faithful God, I cling to you. Simple song, powerful. God is faithful. You are declaring it. Are you clinging to him? Are you holding? Are you clinging to him to say, Lord, I won't let you go? That is the key. Solomon had everything. God told the children of Israel, you know, the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods but me. You know, thou shalt not make idols. God also told David, tell your son, I will bless him. If he does evil, I will deal with him. God also told Solomon himself. And God told him, look, don't marry women who have other gods. They will drag you to make sacrifices to their gods. It's there clearly in the Bible. You see it in Exodus. This was the king. What did Solomon do? The first wife he took was from Egypt. You know about the gods of Egypt. Even though you may not have been to Egypt. One from Egypt. And then he went on to take 699 others from different places. The places that God said he shouldn't. 699, making 700 wives. I don't need to tell you, you know, men cannot comprehend this. They don't even begin to think about it. And then he had 300 concubines. 1,000. If you imagine that this is not the message, we won't go too far here. I know you're interested in this, but you know, if you just imagine their birthdays, except they did joint birthdays for 1,000 people, 1,000 women. But if they were doing it singly, that would be about 3 birthdays a day in a year. Every day, 3 birthdays. Don't even think about the in-laws. In-laws for 1,000 women, you are dead. But God's anointing was so much on Solomon. God's wisdom, he displayed wisdom. He was doing these things. Then when you read 1 Kings 11, you see the things begin to come out. Solomon decided, as he was getting older, the women made him worship their gods. He built a places of sacrifice to their gods. There was even one god called Molech, who used to sacrifice by throwing babies into the fire. Solomon sacrificed there as well. See, what? How did he miss it? How? God gave you wisdom that up till today, people have not been able to surpass. But it's not only wisdom, it's the whole of God. You are not clinging to one part. If you cling to my ear alone, you don't know me. I still have my body. Okay? I still have the rest. You don't know what my hand looks like. It was clinging. Wisdom. You cling to God. Live your life in reference to God. So Solomon had the means, the wherewithal. But he went his own way. That actually, he reminds me of another person in the Bible. His name starts with S. Samson. The God told the parents, don't shave his hair. And of course, as he grew, they must have told him, don't shave your hair. That's the responsibility of parents. Mom, Dad, why can't my hair be like that John's own? God said, don't shave. This is why you have strength. What did he do? He started playing with it. You know how he died? In spite of God's anointing. So can you be anointed? Can you be blessed? And if you are not careful, not live a meaningful life? I'm not asking you to answer the question straight away. But Solomon ended up serving demons. Solomon, that God appeared to and said, choose. I will give you wisdom. I will give you long life. I will give you this. But don't forget, put me first. No. When he became powerful, he thought he was more powerful. Brothers and sisters, I tell you with love, no matter how great God blesses you, you are not God. It's his kingdom. And there's only one kingdom. So you should always ask yourself, what does God say? It's inside you. You have eyes, you have ears, I can see you, but your thoughts I cannot see. In your mind, in your soul, always say, God, what do you say? We'll hear more about this a bit later. See, life is empty, depressing, and pointless under the sun. But as disciples of Jesus, let us look at what Colossians 3, 1 to 4 says. This is Apostle Paul's, telling us, we should always remember. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord. He did not say we shouldn't enjoy what is here. He says, set your heart, set your mind on things above. Set it. Let that no compromise there. Set your heart. Whatever God blesses you with, set it, your heart, not on the blessing, but on God. We thank God as he continues to do things in our midst. Psalm 62, verse 10 says, though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Whereas Colossians is saying, set your heart, set your mind on things above. That is, set it and leave it there. Always go back there. Let it be your default position. Set it there. If not, you will pray, God bless me, you will be blessed. And we will know, okay, I put my hands up. I don't know where Solomon is because of the way he died. I don't know, only God knows. How come great Solomon, you and I cannot say, why, he's resting with God. No matter the blessings of God, seek the blesser, not the blessing. I want to talk a little bit about Mrs. Josephine Johnson. For those of you listening here, she is a member of the church. Her next major birthday, she'll be 88. And, she all the flowers you see as you come to the meeting, she planted the 99% of them. In fact, when you visit her at home, Your flowers welcome you before you knock on her door. She loves plants. She has actually told me of the plants that will be on the other side of the car park next year. That's in 6 months. She reminded me the other day I should get compost ready. I said, okay. So I better get it. If not, she won't talk. She will just bring her own compost. And then she will plant. So does that mean when I'm coming to the center and I see the flowers, I should relate to the flowers? No, I should relate to Josephine Johnson, the planter. I should sit with her in over 60s. We should talk. We should pray together. I don't go to the plants. Hello, plant. Can we pray? How are you? How did you sleep? Well, no, no, no. People will say, are you mad? That's how it is when you are relating to the blessing and you leave out the blesser. God is the blesser. Stick with him. Great men have fallen. I've given you an example of Solomon. I've given you the example of Samson. You know, there are many others. You can start well, pray. This is how you continue and finish well. Praise the Lord. Now, let us look at what the main text says. Ecclesiastes 1:1-11. Because this is introductory, so this is what we're going to read today. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from their labor at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome. More than one can say, the eye never has enough of seeing, or the ear full of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which we can say, look, this is something new? It was here already. Long ago, it was here before our time. No one remembers the former things, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. We thank God, brothers and sisters. Yes, this was someone who had it all. He lived it all. He could now say everything is meaningless. He lost his life under the sun. He never achieves anything. You know? Life under the sun. You've seen it. If I ask anybody here, if you remember your great, great, great grandparents, I don't think anybody will put their hands up. So, if Jesus tarries, no. We ourselves will be waiting. But when we are in Christ, the Bible says, we are a new creation. So we stay there and we cling to him and hold on to him. I'll begin to round up now. We can have meaningful lives full of purpose, peace, and joy, but only if we do things according to God's will. That's from God's perspective. And this brings me to the title of today's message, which is Above the Sun. Life lived above the sun. When you are in Christ, you are up there. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. The preacher always refers to this as being the fear of God. You know, that's life lived above the sun, where Christ has put us. Set your heart on things above. Life of people like Paul, Job, Abraham, Daniel, Joseph, Esther, Mary. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The preacher reminds us, you know, that we should hold on. The fear of God, stay there. Hold on, cling to him. And let us look at how the preacher concludes. That's chapter 12, verse 1. After living all like that, he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Say, remember your Creator there. I want to tell you about this. When you believe in Jesus as Savior and Lord, you go to heaven. But there's a judgment that brings reward. So the earlier you know Jesus, the more you accumulate blessings for yourself, for reward. It's how you obey God here and do God's will that you amass your reward. Welcome into my kingdom. There's general blessing there. But the reward. But when you know the Lord from mini kids, wow. And you live to 80, 90, 100, serving the Lord, you have massive reward. We see, we go again to chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. It says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Wow, if this was written by Solomon, why didn't he take it? Why didn't he do it? Fear God. You can't hide from God. He sees everything. He knows where you are. He loves you. See, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I want to encourage you here. When you repent of something, it's not included there. It's only what you hide. You see, you say, whether it is good. What is good? God judges you to bless you. But when you hide evil, it never augurs well. God will find out. And like we heard last week, there's no place for evil. God cannot mix with evil. Don't deceive yourself. You are not going to pass through. God cannot go with evil. We thank God for his love. So how can you achieve and maintain this meaningful living? Galatians 2:20 comes to my mind. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you been crucified with Christ? You will be tested. I was discussing with a friend the other day, and I was looking at the situation. I said, how can I know that I'm dead if I'm not meek, if I don't take blows and I don't react badly? That's when he checks, are you alive? Are you dead? If you are alive, if you are not crucified with Christ, you will strike back. We all know how to strike back. But when you are striking back the way of the world, you are the world. There's no change. But when you are crucified with Christ, and you will be tested there. Job was tested on his beliefs. Paul was tested. There was a time he despaired of life. This is someone praying for people, preaching the gospel. He himself despaired of life. But the Lord came. The next point is read and meditate on the word of God and obey God. When you read the word of God, meditate on it. Think deeply. It is for you. Think, assess it, open your heart to God. Four words, like I said, what does God say? To echo in your mind. Should be what you get things through. That you get things through it. What does God say about this? And then, let us listen to what Jesus himself told his disciples. in John 14, 15 to 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither knows him, neither sees him, nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Praise the Lord. For he lives with you and will be in you. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If not, ask. Refuse to get up. Refuse to be satisfied. If you don't hear him, the Lord said he lives with me and he lives in me. And I can't feel it. I can't see him. I can't. Yes, I can. But Lord, talk to me. Is there something in my life that is not right? Jesus said, and we are his disciples here. He said he will be with you. For you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. This is not, it doesn't have a different address. Jesus says he will be in you. Listen to him. Listen to him. The Spirit of living God in you. Listen to him. If we all do that, there will be no, you know, persecution among brothers and sisters. We will see things from the same way. But in this world, we all have different, you know, we are moving at different speeds. So we encourage one another. If you are moving faster, encourage one moving slower. It's not no competition. Just know that, oh, brother or sister, you know, you see it like that, you know. And you know, tell them lovingly so that they will look and listen. Are you ignoring God living in you? Jesus said he would be with you and in you. Finally, final words. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Operate from there. Operate from there. God bless you.